This is Small Town News. I'm Keith.
I'm George.
And I'm Craig.
And what we do each session, I got messed up because I was waiting for her, and I'm Neil. And what we do each session is we read Small Town Newspaper articles from Small Town Newspaper somewhere across the United States. We are reading these articles for the first time. They are provided to us by the wonderfully talented but the woefully underpaid Dr. Saxon.
What's in the article?
From those articles, we might take a character, a situation, maybe just a singular Gwyneth Paltrow head, and we're going to improvise stories around it. We're just trying to make big stories out of Small Town News.
Okay, so I was going to say, where are we this week? Jess usually gives us a photo. Today, she said, no photo this week, just this masterpiece of advertising. Let's click the YouTube.
What's in the link?
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants, and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Have y'all not seen that?
Oh, no.
I saw that back in the day. I was working at WCTI, and that was what – and I would – for months, we were all just, I just shipped the band. It's great because it takes a little while to hear that it's ship.
Yes. Yeah.
Not shit.
Yeah.
I can ship my pants.
They're intentionally
right here
talking about shipping pants the first five or six exchanges, right?
Yeah.
All right. So where are we?
What's
this
in the pants? Okay.
Ship.
Like the SS Minnow. Okay. All right. Nope. All right. Ask the question. Let's go.
Oh,
let's go.
Keith, where are we this week?
Where are we today? We are in wherever seven took place. We are in Hamilton, Montana.
Oh.
Hamilton, that's a prestigious name.
It is.
What's the name of the newspaper?
The newspaper is called the Ravioli Republic.
Yes, it is. That is exactly what it is called.
Here's the deal. Okay, so
Craig, was such a setup.
So obviously I'm not correct, but shamefully, I am closer than I should be. I'm closer than I should be. How would you pronounce that, Craig?
I would have said ravioli.
Oh, what would you?
Well, I think
that is not
a,
what it is.
Yeah, your brain tricks you and think there's an O in there.
Ravala?
Ravali, maybe?
Ravali?
Ravali.
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 Ravali Republic? That doesn't sound good.
Ravala Republic.
Hamilton, Montana. See?
News on the march.
Ravioli and meatballs have taken over the mountainside. They've rolled all the way down.
Home to 4,600 residents, Hamilton, the seat of Ravioli County, because that's just what it's going to be now, is located in western Montana near the Idaho border. Spokane, Washington is 240 miles northwest of the town, and the Canadian border is about the same distance to the north. Hamilton was not named for Alexander Hamilton.
Boom.
Alexander Hamilton. The town was founded in the late 19th century by Marcus Daly. As a revenge project, I'll show them
that.
I'm going to found a town, and I'm going to name it something that no one can say. And then one day they'll try to say it, and they'll look so foolish, and then my revenge will be complete.
What would a revenge town be? Somebody said you couldn't live here, so you said, well, I'll live next door.
Instead of a spite store, it's a spite town.
Spite
he
town.
Shows up every day, like taking notes on where the newest store is, so we can go back and build it in his town.
Build one, but it has a slightly different name. Yeah, that's weird.
The property taxes are just like a hair lower, so you're more likely to want to go settle there. Interesting. Marcus, an insanely wealthy man, clearly, because his idea of revenge is to create a town.
Town is a dish best served cold.
Wanted to set up the headquarters for his copper mining business in nearby Grantsdale, then the county seat of Ravioli County. But Grantsdale told him no, and sadly, I could not find out why they said no. Despite Grantsdale, here we go, Marcus decided to make his own town. I'll show them. He funded the town's entire creation with his personal bank account, and he named it after J.W. Hamilton, the man who provided the right-of-way for Marcus's much-needed railroad to town.
Let's say you're going to start a revenge spite town. Don't you name it after yourself?
I would think so.
Yeah.
If you're ever going, whether you're starting a town for revenge or vanity, it doesn't matter.
Or you could just call that town F.U. Grantsville.
Yeah, exactly. You either call it Daily Town or F.U. Grantsville. Grantsdale. Hamilton is currently the home of the last Kmart in Montana and the only Kmart in the Mountain Time Zone. However, the Hamilton Kmart is set to close in March 2022, a few days after this recording. The company, which has been steadily declining since the 1990s, has had a startling number of iterations. There have been big, that's capital B, big Kmarts, which had expanded home goods and clothing sections, and super, that's capital S, super Kmart centers, which were basically a combination of a big Kmart and a grocery store. It briefly had an internet company called Blue Light, named after the store's, quote, Blue Light specials. There were also K cafes, in-store restaurants that served, quote, a fairly standard menu of hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, grilled cheese sandwiches, and Philly's cheesesteak. They also offered a full breakfast menu of baked goods, bagels, and egg platters with bacon and sausage. So yesterday I overheard a conversation at a play I was at, and people were lamenting the supply chain problem. You know, you can't order this, can't order that. Mm-hmm. But I'd never heard it quite talked about this way. I had to go to Sonic, and I couldn't get a regular size hot dog. I had to get a big hot dog. Supply chain.
Thanks, supply chain.
Supply chain.
Now I've doubled the meat in my throat.
That was awesome. Just cut it in half.
Is that a problem?
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I had to order footlong.
I mean, first off, I'm probably going to be getting the footlong anyway, personally.
Right? I didn't know they had regular hot dogs.
That's what I got from this conversation.
I don't think I've had a footlong dog since I was 16 years old, probably.
No, but if you were going to have a hot dog, you'd pick a footlong, right?
No.
Okay, are you saying that from a bias of hot dogs?
Yeah, what if it wasn't made of meat, though?
No, that's got nothing to do with it.
What if it was a vegan hot dog? You'd go for the footlong, right?
No. Vegan hot dogs are not great.
I was about to say, I can't imagine that vegans like vegan hot dogs.
The only time I ever have a hot dog is not because I'm craving the vegan part of it. It's because of the chili or the slaw or the mustard.
Right. Or the footlongery.
Yep.
What's in the dog? Okay, so.
All right, hold on. One Miami store even briefly had an in-store dentist office called Kmart Dentist.
That's insane.
No, but that's the best name for it.
Well, I mean, you know, it tells you exactly what it is.
So do you want the blue light to come on while you're in the chair or not?
It's a special. It's a special on root canals. Attention, Kmart shoppers.
Discounted root canals on aisle 6.
One cause of Kmart's decline was its failure in the 1990s and early 2000s to invest in computer technology to manage its supply chain.
Wow.
Just knew where we were going.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is.
How'd that happen?
That's crazy. What's in the article? The company also maintained high dividends.
Doesn't work when you say it. No. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do a reading for this scene. Keith, go ahead. Give us your best reading.
What is in that box?
Try it again.
What is in that box?
With a little more urgency.
Maybe.
A little less like the Budweiser, what's up?
Wow. One Miami store. That's interesting.
Kmart Dentist. That was the pilot program.
Kmart Dentist.
After the company also maintained a high dividend for board members and stockholders as its profits decreased. After the Hamilton Kmart closes in the coming weeks, there will only be 4 Kmart stores operating in the continental U.S.
Wow.
Do you remember when the one in New Bern closed? I remember running in there looking for deals. We bought a like, that's a big store to be closing.
Grab that box. What's in the box? It doesn't matter.
Grab as many boxes as you can.
That created such a literal image in my mind. I saw you speeding across town.
They're closing to Kmart.
Slamming the car
door. Meet me at Kmart.
Breathlessly running across the parking lot. Running inside. I'm here for deals.
Wait until you hear what we bought. We bought a treadmill. At Kmart, because they were closing.
You couldn't even write that joke.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, no, my memory of that Kmart is more so. I mean, I remember going there a lot as a younger child, but I just remember after it closed, you know, they had like a greenhouse garden section in the back. That was a part of the store, mm-hmm. and they sold plants and stuff. But then after it closed, quite literally the entire store, the interior, became a greenhouse.
Yes,
you could see it through the window. If you put your face against the windows and looked inside, plants grew from the floor. I don't think they removed the flooring.
It
overgrew and became this insulated greenhouse. It was full of foliage.
It's amazing how quickly buildings go back to the earth. Like nature reclaims things. If you turn off the AC and heat and all that and just, I guess, don't walk around. And what you walk around, you keep roots from sprouting.
The roots are like, don't move. There's people around.
But it's like they
didn't. Grow.
Reach for the sky.
I don't remember the building having skylights or anything. So it's like, I don't think any light was really getting in. But somehow this foliage just grew up. It was kind of hard.
It feels like you're beginning Little Shop of Horrors. And all of a sudden.
On the 21st day of the month of September.
What's in the Kmart?
Anyway. What's in the pot?
While the town is losing its Kmart, it will still have its microbiology research facility, Rocky Mountain Laboratories.
Oh, thank God.
The facility has one of only 10 biosafety level 4 labs in the country. BSL-4 is the designation for labs with the highest safety protocols. These labs only work with fatal agents that have no vaccine or cure.
You don't want that in your town, right? You'd rather have the last Kmart.
Well, you definitely want it in a small town.
No, not if you live there.
You want it on the outskirts.
We want it in a small town.
Keep it away from everybody else.
Yeah. Lab personnel must wear a protective pressure suit and go through multiple decontamination cycles while exiting. All entrances and exits by personnel are recorded, and the lab is separated from the rest of the facility with a series of airlocks. All waste from BSL-4 labs, including air, water, and trash, must be decontaminated before leaving the facility. Ebola and smallpox viruses are among the many fatal agents contained in BSL-4 labs. But these labs can also contain extraterrestrial materials.
What?
So far, all of the extraterrestrial materials in BSL-4 labs have been from moon missions or have fallen to Earth as meteors. However, NASA and the European Space Agency, is a real thing, have a Mars mission slated for the early 2030s that will return to Earth with Martian materials.
Forget about Area 51. They need to go to Hamilton, Montana. That's where all the space stuff is.
We all remember how the Blob movie began.
Yeah.
The meteor coming to Earth and the Blob's inside, and then they're holding it in some underground facility.
In Hamilton, Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about that in the overgrown Kmart.
Yes.
I'm thinking of...
Da, 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 da.
No, I'm thinking of Stephen King. Meteor shit. Overgrown by the plants.
So good.
There are currently no plans underway for designing or building a next-level lab for these materials. Given the complex safety measures needed for a biosafety level 5 lab, construction will likely take at least 7 years.
What's in the lab?
And then it will take another 2 years to adequately train the staff. So those 2 years of training are going to be a bit tense around the level 5 lab.
You know, it's interesting. I actually get a picture of what this place must be like. I saw a movie recently from the 80s called Warning Sign, and that's exactly what that movie is about. It's a chemical testing facility in the middle of podunk nowhere.
Yeah.
I got the pictures of what this place must be based on this movie I just saw.
And they've described what goes into a level 4 lab. So it's all these awful things that have no vaccine or cure, plus things from space shit.
You don't know.
So what's in level 5? Like, why did...
When they start trying to jam those things together.
Right.
Right. Somebody give me a Martian rock and smallpox and throw them in the microwave, boys. Let's see what happens.
Oh, doggy.
Shit. All right. Close down level 4. Close down level 3. We've just made big pox.
From smallpox.
What's in the pox? might need to retire that joke now. What I hate is how spot on you are. Like that's the part I hate. It's one of those things where like, that's funny because it's so ridiculous that it's probably true.
Yeah.
Somebody is combining smallpox with space shit.
Yeah, to make big pox.
We all remember how that movie began. Big pox.
Susanna's son was born in Hamilton in the late 1990s, just a few years before the BSL-4 lab was added to the Rocky Mountain facility. In 2021, she was nominated for a Gotham Award for Best Breakthrough Performer. And in 2022, she was nominated for an Independent Spirit Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Hold on. Have y'all, either of you ever heard of her?
Just now.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Both of these nominations were for her role as Strawberry in Red Rocket. I just saw a video about this. I hear it's good. Red Rocket was shot on 16mm film with a 10-person crew over 4 weeks in October and November of 2020. There was no rehearsal time for the film, and aside from a few of the principal actors, most on-screen appearances were by non-actors. On its opening weekend in December 2021, the film grossed $88,000, which is actually pretty good for a movie of this stature, and was shown in 6 theaters.
Yeah.
The film follows a former porn star who, after 20 years, returns to his Texas hometown and falls in love with a 17-year-old Strawberry. Not a Strawberry that's 17 years old. The character's name is Strawberry from the actress. I realized the way I said that.
What kind of movie is this?
Okay.
Is this Strawberry legal?
You know what? Not quite.
Is that jam or jelly?
Not quite.
Put a jelly it in there.
I had nothing constructive to add. Okay, but seriously though, I cannot stress how I would watch the shit out of a movie about someone who returns home after 20 years and falls in love with a literal 17-year-old strawberry fruit. I would watch the shit out of that movie.
I'm going to knock the seeds off of that strawberry.
I can't stop my brain from making a movie in my head. I'm trying to stop it. Okay. Oh, boy. Let's hear about Red Rocket. Okay. Red Rocket. Okay. So, okay. Former porn star, 20 years, returns to Texas hometown, falls in love with the 17-year-old strawberry.
Capital S.
Capital, because that's the name of the character
right.
that Susanna Sun plays.
Yes.
And she was nominated for multiple awards. He then tries to get her to go to L.A. with him to become a porn actress. While the film got a standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival in July 2021, one critic noted, if the filmmakers aren't exactly endorsing their protagonist's middle-age, borderline pedo pimp obsession with Strawberry, they're not being as rigorous about mediating it as they should. Red Rocket will be released on DVD in March 2022, just not at the soon-to-be-defunct Kmart in Susanna's hometown.
Have fun in Hamilton. As you roll into town, put on Susanna Sun's cover of NSYNC's Bye 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 from Red Rocket, and she gave us a YouTube link for as well.
We'll watch that later. Yeah, I don't want to endure the wrath of NSYNC's lawyers.
A grizzly bear film.
Take away everything I love. My home. My strawberry.
My boy bands.
I'll have to. Okay.
You have to pry the strawberry from my cold dead hands.
I cannot stress how broken I am right now. My brain will not let go of this man in love with a strawberry. And I really wanted to get out of my head. And
can you imagine what a 17-year-old strawberry would look like, though? That'd be rotten, right?
It would probably be rotten.
Hey,
that's how you know his love is pure and true.
You call it what you want. I call it love. Okay.
How big is this strawberry?
I sent you that link
so
of the
many
of
questions.
I sent you that link of the world's largest strawberry, right?
Normal strawberry.
I am too.
No, that giant one that was like a pound. Remember that picture I sent you? The giant, world's giant, largest strawberry.
I'm telling you, I'm in the movie of my brain. Like, he's just walking along the road past the strawberry farm, and there's the regular strawberry. Well, as regular as a 17-year-old strawberry can be. And then, like, everything goes silent, and they called it puppy love. Like, the music, and you got the iris on the camera lens.
And the conflict is what? It's like a Footloose kind of town where they don't allow strawberry love, like yes, the big cities.
Yes, take every scene with John Lithgow from Footloose, but instead of rock and roll, he says loving strawberries. That's exactly it. That's the movie.
Just eat the strawberry like God intended. All right, here we go. Grizzly bear filmed stealing wolf's dinner. No author listed.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that I have to do this digression. I found out about this yesterday.
Oh.
And I was thinking about bringing it up to y'all for a porch chat. now it's going to be just a part of the regular episode.
Okay. Okay.
Have y'all ever heard of Hank the Tank?
Yeah, I have not.
This is in California. Hank the Tank is a 500-pound black bear. Googles and look up Hank the Tank. That's like the first thing that will come up, Hank the Tank Bear. And this is happening in California right now. It's a 500 mammoth bear. Like when people say absolute unit, Hank the Tank is an absolute unit.
What's an absolute unit?
Absolute unit is a big old beast.
Okay.
Gotcha. Is what it is. Like, and he's breaking into California homes for the expressed purpose. He wants to get to the kitchen.
Strawberry.
He wants to eat all the food. He does not discriminate, Hank the Tank. And he just eats whatever food he can from the kitchen and he leaves. He's figured out, wait a minute, instead of hunting food and finding berries, find these big house-shaped things. Not only break in because of the 500 pounds of black bear, he's got to be ruining not just doors, but doorways.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting in the house, eating the food, and leaving. It's an epidemic. They were going to have
to... It's a crime spree.
Seriously, they were apparently going to have to hunt down and kill Hank the Tank because of all the destruction he has done. But then he got saved.
By Jesus?
Okay.
Jesus.
He opened a fridge and inside... He found cheeses.
Okay, now I definitely have to say this. There will be a porch chat in about 3 or 4 days' time, listener, that will explain all these 7 jokes. And now cheeses, just hold tight, buddy. It's going to make sense. But no, okay, so it did not get specific, but he was saved because DNA evidence, and that's as far as it told me, proved the crimes of Hank the Tank was not one bear, but several.
Oh.
So because it was
a crime
several,
syndicate.
Yeah.
A
so
gang.
Because it was several bears doing it, they couldn't just pin it on the one. They weren't going to kill just the one bear.
Wow. That's a pretty good
Hank
use of
the
DNA
Tank.
Evidence.
Did you look up a picture?
I did.
He's huge.
I also love the headline because he was exonerated because of DNA evidence. Right?
And they didn't go any more specific. Like you. Anyway, yes.
But I love this headline from AV Club. Enormous bear named Hank the Tank is actually 3 enormous bears we will now call Hanks the Tanks.
Kind of like Shakespeare, right? All those works were attributed to one man, but it was probably several.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So that, but this is a real thing that's happened.
Oh my God, he's
a big boy.
Oh my,
that's big boy.
That's a cropped picture too. Like there's the uncropped one. Like he is almost a literal circle.
Can you imagine that coming in your house?
What are you going to do? Well, first off, my first thought, look at
pocket
that.
Berries.
Look at that. Listener, go look up Hank the Tank Bear.
That is gigantic.
He is so, I mean, first off, that's not getting through a normal door.
No.
That's not. Like, if you're lucky, he breaks through, like, your double French doors in
the back. He probably goes through your windows.
Oh.
He probably makes a door.
Exactly.
Like a cartoon bear-shaped door.
Bear-shaped. That's putting it kindly. He's a circle. There will just be a circle in your wall, a perfect circle.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah. So Hank the Tank, a ridiculous story because the bear is huge and it figured out. It was like, man, I'm done with this hunting crap.
Wait, hold on though. So he broke into at least one house.
Oh, he's broken into multiple houses.
He didn't break into all of them
but
so he didn't get killed?
One. But he's not the only one.
How many you got to break into?
It doesn't answer. There's a lot of questions that come with this story and they're not answered. Like, whose job is it to collect bear DNA evidence? I'm sure it's like hairs and stuff. But, still.
But here's the similarity. So let's say you have a mafia crime family and you find out that the murders weren't committed by one person, but 3 people. Do you let the one person go because they only killed one person? Or do you go hunt after the other 2?
Okay.
So you're trying to apply logic to this.
I am.
You should instead be looking for ways to use this in the courtroom.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, no. It's not fair, George, to compare a bear, Yogi Bear style,
picnicking.
Stealing picnic baskets to first degree murder.
No, but they were going to kill
Yogi
Frank the Tank.
Yogi was not mauling people in Jellystone Park and taking their picnic baskets. Okay, this bear is just like, he has mauled nothing from what we understand.
Apparently, though, in the world of wildlife, breaking into more than one house is a capital offense. Because they were going to kill Hank the Tank because they thought he did it multiple times.
All we know
times.
Is that because it's multiple bears, maybe there's a law somewhere that's kind of like, oh, well, that was just natural human behavior. Why are you going to do? You shouldn't have built your house.
That's
you
just bears put, being bears.
Shouldn't have put food bears, in your house.
Bears will be bears. That's
you kind of entrapment by putting food in your house. You know, bears like to heat food.
You know, a house is a lot just like a really complicated bear trap, you know?
Why did you build a house shaped like a picnic basket?
Haven't you ever seen a cartoon? Don't you know bears love picnic baskets?
Heavenly, comma, Earthly Cocoa by Artie Levan. And then it opens, this article opens with several quotes from different people. He stared at his hot chocolate like it held the secret to the universe. Lilith St. Crow. Second quote. Blood is really warm. It's like drinking hot chocolate, but with more screaming. Ryan Mercum. What is this?
Okay, we cut to Ryan Mercum's house. He has just made a proclamation that made it into the local paper. Honey, I was just reading the paper, and there's a quote in here from you. Yes. It doesn't have a lot of context. It just says, It's apparently something you said yesterday to a reporter.
Oh, yes.
Blood is really warm. It's like drinking hot chocolate, but with more screaming. Honey, I'm getting questions from my friends who take the paper. They want to know what you were talking about.
Oh, well, I've been meaning to talk to you about this.
But please. I wish you'd talked to me before you went to the reporter.
I thought this was the best way to really get it out. I'll just come right out and tell you.
Yeah?
I started eating the pets.
Ryan.
And that is...
Ryan.
Last Thursday when I said that Chewy ran away because he was...
Yes.
Being chased by wolves.
Yes.
And the bear.
There was the bear.
Right. Well, so I was the bear. I enjoy the way it feels. I've been working on my ability to run on all fours. And, well, I chased him into the woods, and I bit right into his throat.
Okay.
And he screamed.
This is awful. This is...
Wait, I'm not done.
But maybe we are.
But it was warm.
Okay.
The only thing it was missing, really, were marshmallows.
Ryan.
Which, of course, as you know, I ate 3 months ago.
The marshmallows.
No, the hamster. Marshmallows, the hamster.
All right. Hold on 1 second. There's somebody knocking at the door.
Excuse me, is this the home of Ryan Mercum? Sorry, yeah. The door was open.
Yes, that's me.
So, I saw you reviewing the paper, kid. Whoa, the way you got with words here. It's like I wanted the hot chocolate or the animal, whichever it was, right then and there. I want you to be the new food reviewer for the Marconi Times newspaper.
I love this idea.
We cut to the Marconi Times newspaper office.
Hey, Chief.
Yes. Oh, Ryan. Okay. First article. Where'd you go?
Peter's double foot long hot dog stand.
Double foot? That's like 2 feet of hot dog. I've heard good things.
Well, you're going to hear even greater things now.
Okay, Ryan, I'm going to sit down here. Paint me a picture.
All right, so.
Let me hear it.
All right. Your ass screams as it falls into the seat.
What a start.
It's midnight. And all of a sudden, the screams are coming from the back. You run through the double saloon doors and slip on a grease spot.
Oh, my God. It's like a movie.
Now you're screaming. You kick a child.
It's like I'm there.
He's just trying to make a little bit of money to put gas in his car. He's back there throwing chili on top of double dogs. Now he's screaming, and you're screaming. They're out of mustard.
Oh, no.
So as you go in, you pick up the bun with two hands, and then you rest the bun on your chest so that you can feel your heart beating in the buns.
So I'm like, I've got no shirt on inside this place.
I should have made that clear.
That's the only way I do it.
Okay, let me start over. You're sitting in the chair, shirtless. Your ass is screaming. You run through the double saloon doors of the kitchen, holding 2 feet of dog. You realize it's an actual dog. It's a Dachshund.
Oh, my God.
But not really. It's just a wiener.
Oh, a twist and a twist.
You bite into it. You don't chew all the way. You slowly just kind of keep devouring it like a snake that has just captured an eel. And as you slow...
Keep going, kid. It's classic.
As you slowly digest the eel down, you realize that the eel is not dead. It's screaming. The dog is screaming as it's wiggling and writhing its way down your throat. God!
So thumbs up then.
Yeah, except for the mustard.
All right, cut to Stephen King's.
Cut to Stephen King's office. His agent is bad news.
Stephen.
Yes.
I've got bad news, buddy. So you've been the number one fiction author for, I don't know,
approximately 70 years.
It's a lot. Yeah, you write so many books. One was about a haunted car.
I wrote one this morning on the toilet. I'm going to bring it to you tomorrow as soon as I clean it up.
God, it's probably shit, but you know what? Fine.
I see what you did tomorrow. There.
Yeah. Okay, so Steven, but I got bad news. I got bad news.
I've decided to retire, though.
What?
I'm going to retire. There's no more challenges to me in the world. I'm at the top of the horror game. No one can trump
Steven,
me.
Steven, you were at the top of the horror game.
What? Were?
You were.
Past tense?
Have you not heard the name Ryan Meacom?
I don't believe that's a real name.
Steven, I'm going to open my phone, and I'm going to double check, and I'm pretty sure... That's what it was, Steven.
Wait. Is that the food reviewer from Montana?
Steven, just so I don't seem ridiculous, this last name, Steven, is spelled M-E-C-U-M.
That's definitely Mika.
Yep. I just want to make sure I'm in the clear. Now that we've got that settled, Steven.
I don't know why I doubted you.
Steven, and you don't need to doubt me any further. You're number two in horror authors.
I'm number two. Behind a food reviewer in
Bumpkiss,
Montana.
Named, yep, whose last name is Meacom.
This cannot stand. I am the king. He's a Meacom. I'm a king.
Huh, okay, yeah, yes, when I hear other people say it, that's odd. So, Steven, there's only one answer to this.
You think what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking you need to review some food.
Oh, I'll review the hell out of food.
Okay.
What you got?
I have this taco, Steven. Dry run.
Let's see.
Right
all
now.
Right. Okay.
Take a bite
all right.
of this taco. Okay. Tell me about it.
The chicken? Is it chicken?
That is beef, Steven.
Oh.
Paint me a picture. Horrify me, Steven.
I've got it. Tastes like chicken. All right.
Well, I mean, it's
that's
beef.
The review.
If it's beef and it tastes like chicken, Steven, I guess that's alarming.
That's
in some way. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's not There's red also, rum it terrifying.
Also has lettuce. It tastes like chicken, comma, also lettuce.
Steven, I've been your manager for apparently 70 years. And I got to be honest, I know a sinking ship when I see one.
This is what's causing you to jump off this Stephen King galleon?
Yes. I think I'm going to have to accept an offer that came to me this morning. I'm now going to go manage.
Meacom?
That's your business, Steven. I'm going to go manage this Ryan guy.
Wait, no, give me another chance.
That's it.
Agent Smithers, you left the house with the haunted taco.
I am not the crazy one. I know I mispronounce words.
Meacom.
But that bastard's last name was spelled M-E-C-U-M. Okay, so this is a weird article.
You want to keep going?
Like, let's hear just a little bit more of this article here. So this is we're getting back to the actual article here. This is after the two opening quotes. I have perfected hot cocoa, created the cup that I always wanted, but nobody else could give it to me.
And his quote was about blood.
Well, no, that was someone else's quote. The article is written by Ari Levine or something like that. All my life, the cocoa has been too thin. Other hot cocoa rich enough, sweet enough, creamy enough, and chocolatey enough. My cocoa is as thick as sea foam, yet flows enough to drink. Even swallow like a warm hug from inside.
My cocoa is thick like seacom.
And it brings all the boys to the yard.
My cocoa came from Ryan Meacom.
Okay, you can look, and I'm reading it word for word, so you can look at this one of two ways, let's be honest. Either it's a little bit childish, kind of like what you're doing right now, or it's a bit creepy.
I kind of identify with this. Now, you guys make hot cocoa, right? You ever get the Swiss Miss, like the powdery stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done it before.
You ever like followed the directions on it?
Not if it says add water.
So when you add water, it will never taste good.
You got to milk it, baby.
But even when you add milk with that stuff, no, it doesn't. It
show that work.
I regretted my verbiage. I regretted it.
But the powder, it just doesn't taste good.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's never good with water. It just isn't.
Right. So is his? He's just after the perfect cup of cocoa.
No, it's blood or nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going. This is so interesting. This cocoa is so thick, it floats upon my coffee like a steamed milk, not mixing, but hitching a ride into my mouth with each bewitching sip. Scandalous in a good way. Like a stolen kiss on New Year's Eve, assuming both parties are vaxxed and boosted. Okay, so
nothing about consent. Long as she's vaxxed and boosted,
I'm going to continue reading. But just picture, here we go again. Picture Kevin Spacey from Seven. Okay. That's what this is. The body of this drinkable souffle comes from whole eggs, not merely the yolks, as in Vietnamese coffee, Venice coffee. It's not Vietnamese. Venice. Okay, that's on me. That's on me.
Did you say Vietnamese coffee with egg yolks in it? Is that what you said?
I did. And I'm correcting it because that's
the
case.
But there's any hot chocolate with eggs in it? I'm definitely
doing it wrong. Is that how Rocky Balboa drinks it?
With raw eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
A cup of cocoa, hold the cocoa. Okay. Raw eggs.
Look, there's been like 6 or 7 Rocky movies. And the only thing you've ever seen him drink is an egg.
There was that one Rocky Rambo crossover where he was in Vietnam and he had the hot chocolate with an egg in it. You don't remember that one?
Okay.
Yeah, it was called First Cocoa.
I didn't pour First Cocoa. They poured it for me.
Sorry. Neil's face just popped into my brain, and he's so disappointed.
Angry.
He's so disappointed. Okay, here we continue. We're going to read this article. It's not much longer, and it's just amazing.
All right, we're with you on the Vietnamese egg soup.
It's Venice.
Sorry, Venetian egg soup.
And certainly not thickened with cornstarch a la Italian hot cocoa. I follow the Venice method, but unlike the Austrians, I don't neglect the yolks. I beat them stiff, like the grits mauled the cats the other week. I think these are like referring to sports teams. And then fold, whisk, heat, and generally incorporate into my cocoa. And then this is just one statement by itself, separated from all other comments and paragraphs. Luxurious liquid broth.
Soup.
Nope, that's it. There's not even punctuation after that. Luxurious liquid broth. Nope, no period. And now the next paragraph. Unlike whipped cream, stiff egg whites won't wilt in heat. They keep their stout consistency amidst the dark brew, making for a cloud-like experience where you are inside of it as much as it is inside of you, glowing like half-cooled lava.
Okay,
even if... Yeah.
This guy a cup of hot chocolate.
Even if we'd have read this entire article, we would have done the same improv.
That's what he's referring to as whisking. Oh. He had to beat it stiff.
Well, yeah, he didn't say what instrument he was using for the whisking.
But I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
He did unzip his pants and drop his penis inside of a cup of hot chocolate. I mean, that happened, right? And stirred it.
Did he wilt in the heat?
He did not.
We don't want to see this recipe.
There was screaming.
Yes, warm as blood, but less screaming. So his recipe is for warm chocolate, but not hot chocolate. Because
there's no recipe in this. There's no recipe. Step one, unzip pants.
Step two, first degree burn.
What's in the cocoa? What's in the cocoa?
I know.
I'm in the cocoa and the cocoa's in me.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That was...
Like a warm hug from inside. My pants.
It's called a pants hug. All right. Chocolate pants hug. It's my favorite coffee.
Thanks for coming over. We're going to make hot cocoa tonight.
You know what?
I'm good.
Yeah. I say we move on before Ryan Meekum comes back into the discussion.
Corvallis 8th grade field trip visits Yellowstone Park by Michelle McCona.
McCona?
McCona. Not to be confused with Richard Crenna.
Or McCum.
Me come. Where you come. Where they come.
We all come for Coco.
Oh! No.
Oh, God.
Smith, I don't think this ad's going to work.
Stephen King really went off the rails with that last review.
We should have known it was going to be bad from that taco ad.
We let the haunted car book go, but this.
Me come, you come, we all come for Coco.
It doesn't even rhyme. No. I can't believe it made it to the press.
We're on deadline here. Make it rhyme. Make it rhyme. All right. So Corvallis is the town I lived in when I was in Oregon, by the way.
Hmm. Yeah. But this is Montana.
I'm sure it's the same one. It's close enough.
Oh.
They're going to Yellowstone. So this is, I'm guessing this town in Montana is close to Yellowstone Park.
Right.
Yeah. A Corvallis Middle School field trip took 20 eighth grade students for the experience and the science of Yellowstone Park at the end of May. Corvallis science educator Christy Schlagman said the trip was the sixth year in a row. Quote, it has been valuable to show the kids the whole park, she said. We spent quite a bit of time on the geothermal features that we studied in earth science class. The field trip group also saw three adult grizzly bears and four black bears. Quote, one was a mom with three cubs, which was very unusual, Schlagman said. We got to see moose, coyote, red fox, egret, and ground squirrel. It was probably the best year for wildlife. The weather was cold, but students had prepared for cool temperatures with hats, coats, and warm shoes. They also brought swimsuits, and Yellowstone Hot Springs was a favorite stop on the trip. Quote, it just opened this spring, Schlagman said. It was great. The whole trip was a great opportunity for students to see what we talk about in my class. It is good for the kids to see the hot pools, test the pH levels, and unique geothermal features. It is a volcanic caldera. And we talk about volcanoes.
How do you not know, like you get in a hot spring. So this is naturally heated water. The earth is the same heat, I assume, that makes volcanoes hot. I assume.
Geothermal.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good fancy word. That sounds better than what I was saying.
Hot earth.
But like
geothermal.
But like
we get a hot earth massage.
There you go. Like some of these pools, like, you know, it's almost at a hot tub level so you can get inside and earth hot tub it. But like, how do you know that this temperature is not just going to suddenly spike? Like I don't know, like the earth hiccups and it.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, right.
Okay. I'm trying to say something. I'm trying not to.
There's no stupid thermostat, right?
You're yeah, just saying like, you like, can't get, like.
There's no geothermostat.
How do you know the earth's not going to, like, this water's not going to suddenly go to 7,000 degrees?
Right. Because yeah. You're basically hanging out near a volcano, right? Is that what heats it up?
Yeah.
Caldera?
Well, it's not a volcano necessarily, but yeah.
Does it have lava?
Yeah. Deep okay. down, there's magma.
Magma?
Yeah. I mean, at the. Look, once again, I'm trying not to sound stupid, but I'm going to sound really stupid. It's the same plumbing. You know, like the same stuff in the earth that's making the volcanoes hot, making the hot springs hot, right?
Yeah, I think
so. It's not a different system, okay?
I think so.
They're all in the same meter is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying not to sound stupid, but I know I sound stupid.
All right, we cut to the field trip, and Miss Christie is answering a question from one of the students. Well, so there's not really a meter, Timmy. It's just the way nature lets off a little steam,
But my dad said that nothing in life comes free. That's why the guy from the city comes and checks the meter, the circle meter on the side of our house, because right. Nothing comes free. See, I'm not. So he told me, don't go in the hot springs because you're not paying for that heated water.
So Timmy, this is why I love taking this field trip every year with my students, because we get to talk about things like this, and we get to talk about how nature is different from what man builds. And so, like, I've been coming here for 10 years with students, and I've never seen the meter man for the hot springs. I'm sure there's that person would never pop up. So children, we're going to now take off our warm shoes and
Doesn't seem like a good idea.
We're gonna put on our swimming
Nothing
suits.
In life is free.
And we're gonna go in here. I'm sure it's gonna be fine. It's always been the perfect temperature, and we've never had to.
You go first.
Hey there, now, kids. What are you doing? Getting into the tub right now?
Whoa! I'm sorry. I'm Christy Sullivan. I'm the teacher. We're on a field trip.
Hi, Christy Sullivan.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Ted Johnson. I'm resident meter man and earth plumber.
Earth plumber? No, I just... Okay, you are wearing... Is that a uniform? Okay.
Of course it's a uniform. Do you think I would leave the house in a jumpsuit and a onesie with my name on it that says earth plumber just for fun?
Wait a minute, Mr. Ted Johnson. What is an earth plumber?
Oh, it's a great question. So I was hired by Yellowstone, I don't know, maybe 70 years ago, to come out here to make sure that the pools stay the right temperature, because you never know when the earth might burp and the lava might bubble up. And, well, one minute you got kids playing around, the next minute you got field trip soup.
Wait, that's really a risk?
I assume. The art of earth plumbing is really, it's about always being ready for surprises.
What could happen?
Oh. Yes, Ted, please describe an earth burp.
Sure. So I've only seen them a couple of times in my career. They're quite rare. But all of a sudden, there'll be this rumble down below, and then a boop, and then it will rise up, and then all of a sudden, what was a hot tub bubble also explodes, and it's 375 degrees, and your skin blisters.
That sounds very dangerous.
It is.
Where are the warnings? There's no sign on the trail? There's no.
Yeah, I'm here. But I'm here to make sure it doesn't happen. I'm earth plumber. I got this solved.
Suddenly, Ted Johnson's radio starts coming off. Ted, please answer, Ted.
Yeah, what's going on? What's up?
This is Jack Smellington from the head office.
Jack.
Yes.
Oh, great to hear you. How are things going down at head office?
Oh, God. It's going to be a bad day, Ted. Look, we just got word on the other side of the globe some Italians fell into a volcano.
Oh, God.
Yes, the Earth is currently digesting Italian food.
Oh, Jesus. That's going to come out as heartburn. It's going to get hot.
The Earth is not going to like this. Look, if you are near any hot springs or volcanoes, you need to take evasive action immediately. You know what that means.
I couldn't help but overhear your walkie.
That's really kind of rude.
Did the Earth eat spaghetti?
Is there something we can do to help?
Yes. So here's some red wine. Everybody just have a little bit of that.
No. These are children. I'm happy to drink some red wine with you.
Well, I understand.
Ted,
if you want to make the children more worldly, you would understand that it's okay for them to have a little sip of wine.
Excuse me, I'm just a small child.
Hello.
No wine for you, Tim.
But,
no,
okay,
no.
I know I appreciate that, but it seems to me in this situation, doesn't the Earth need to be taking the red wine? Should we pour the red wine into the hot springs to help soothe the Earth's tummy?
Well, Timmy, that's a good idea, Timmy. I usually rely on human plumbing to take care of that. I just would give it to the child, and we all know the child's going to pee in the Earth's hot tub. And
like my dad always said, cut out the middleman. I'm just a kid.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, so just pour all the wine in there.
Rumble, 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 rumble.
Mr. Johnson, you have a lot of wine.
Well, 70 years of earth plumbing has, I've seen a lot of shit.
Rumble, 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 rumble.
All right, keep pouring it in there.
Okay.
No, not the Chianti, not the Chianti.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Why not the Chianti?
Huh? Rumble,
you don't want to double rumble. Down on the Italian.
Okay.
Oh, well, burp, burp, burp. Bob. Bob. All right. Oh, that sounds bad.
Should we run? Should we be running?
Nope, just stay in the water.
Wait, okay. It's getting kind of warm.
So there, half your class is gone. I'm sorry about that.
You're sorry about that?
They got caught in an earth burp.
It's okay. The rest of them never talked much.
No, it's true. They were, but that's not a justification for them to die in an earth.
No, that Mr. I think Johnson. About it, they may have been slowly cooking for a while now. That would explain why you have such a well-behaved class.
I'm not going to lie. I'm learning a lot on this field trip. End scene.
Let me tell you why I feel bad. Because I just made y'all say some of the stupidest stuff. I'm listening to you, Craig, talking about the plumbing of the earth. I'm just like, this is my fault. What in the world? Like, you sound like an idiot.
No, but that's the kind of question a kid might ask on a field trip.
But I mean, look, I'm not a smart man. I know this. I'm aware of this, especially when it comes to matters of what's below the dirt that we stand on.
But oh, I don't know that either.
It can't be that. Can't be that complicated.
No, right? We've talked about how it's weird. No, I always thought that the earth was solid. And apparently, it's full of holes and caves and gold.
Well, yeah, it's not like a house, and like, you know, we're in a city right now. There's all types of different pipes and plumbing.
I think there is. I think there's like underground rivers.
Yeah. There are pipes for poop.
There are underground rivers and fissures.
Yeah,
and steam and gas comes up and breaks the earth apart.
But is it not ultimately? And I'm asking sincerely: is it not ultimately the magma at the center that makes the heat, that makes
when it
the
eats caverns Italian open. Food.
Yeah, it's the Italian food, yeah. No, I mean, you've got the solid metal core, and then you've got sort of the what you would call like the magma, more the like flowy level that's on top of that, and then we've got the crust that's much higher up. Yeah, so you've got the center part that's like where our magnetic poles are, that doesn't really move, but yeah, everything above it
shifts.
Is molten, yeah. Yeah, we could all just like fall apart at any moment and be...
It's a delicate, fragile balance.
It really is.
Take us back to Morgan Freeman talking about the earth. What's in the core? What's in the core?
That's how that story should have been. And it was at that moment that the entire class of second graders got boiled alive into a human stew inside of a hot springs while a man in a one-piece jumpsuit watched.
Warm as blood, but with more screaming.
That luxurious liquid broth. I'm Morgan Freeman. This is a mess.
All right, we'll start another one. So this article starts with a question, and I would like each of you to answer it before we move on.
Okay.
Why is a mane important to horses and lions? No author listed.
M-A-N-E?
Greg. M-A-N-E, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the state.
Makes them feel pretty.
Makes them feel pretty. What do you think, Keith?
A bald horse looks ridiculous.
It looks like a camel.
Or some kind of donkey. Okay. What about lions? Why is the mane important to lions?
Because a bald lion looks ridiculous.
No. Or one with a receding hairline.
Would look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you respect a bald lion?
I would. I'd be worried that he was...
That's pretty smart.
He was probably cantankerous about his looks. He might be more likely to attack you.
Or a lion that has a receding hairline that has gone like full, like the horseshoe bald, but has continued to let the mane grow very long.
Right.
Right. Which is what I refer to as the roadie look.
Oh, I was going to say Larry in the front, Party in the back.
Yeah. Well, several animals grow hair on their necks called manes. The word comes from much older words like...
Like a neck beard
like
horse?
A neck beard. These are hipster animals. The word
fedora and a mane.
That's the line you got to worry about. The word comes from much older words like manu, mano, and man that also mean neck. Horses have manes. So do giraffes. Male lions are famous for their manes. But why do all these different animals need hairy necks? One idea is that horses need manes to keep their long necks warm. This seems to make sense, but some old horse breeds didn't have manes. Maybe they lived where it was warm enough.
Wait, so you're talking about a giraffe mane. Like, think about the neck on a giraffe. So that mane is only at like the very top. Like,
it's like
a lot of neck real estate that's getting cold.
And it's brushy, right? It's not like a flowing mane that you can wrap yourself that's up right. in and snuggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. A hairy neck may also help protect them from other animals that attack by biting the back of the neck. Mountain lions will sometimes attack their prey like this, jumping down onto their victims from a tree or rock. Another idea is that male lions have manes to attract females. A healthy mane, like a well-styled head of hair, may be just the ticket to get a female interested. In the 1970s, many men considered a big hairdo as a way to please females, and entire bands were known as, quote, hair bands, for their long manes. A hairy neck may also protect the animal from biting flies and other bugs. Anyone who has spent time swatting off flies and mosquitoes knows that protection from bugs is a good thing. Other animals that have manes include zebras, which have bristly manes, as if they were cut off to stand straight up, and the lion-tailed macaque, an unusual monkey with a silvery mane.
Come on! Spell that. Spell it. Spell it. Spell it
macaque?
Now. Yeah. Spell macaque.
M-A-C-A-Q-U-E. Macaque. Wildebeest, also called gnus, have bristly manes. Now that winter is here, having long hair to keep your neck warm sounds like a good idea. Anyway, to keep the cold away seems helpful.
We cut to a high school cafeteria. Nancy, is don't tell me, I don't know if Johnny's looking at me right now.
Oh, God, yeah, he's sitting right behind you. He's staring at the back of your neck.
Is he?
He's not even blinking.
I'm really self-conscious about this. My neck just started growing hair.
What?
Like, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and it's just kind of coming in.
Short haircut. I figured you were just letting it grow out.
Hey, no, Rhonda, you worried about biting flies?
Oh.
I see you growing hair on your neck. What you got there? You worried about biting flies or other bugs?
A little bit.
She's just growing her hair out longer. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's very specific. It's not like it's coming from her head, though. It's coming from her neck. Why you got a... It's like you're growing a mane Rhonda.
That is so rude. No, she's just... Look at you. You're over there trying to grow a mustache, and clearly you've stopped trimming your nose hairs, thinking that no one's going to notice. Everybody can tell when your nose hairs, where they start and where the mustache starts.
But that's what a mustache is. I think it's just nose hairs that you sculpt.
Oh, that's just an excuse to be lazy. Maybe it just seems like that hair is growing out of her neck and not out of the top of her scalp. Don't cry. Everything's fine.
I'm sorry, Ron. I don't mean to upset you. I know we're all going through changes in our bodies.
That's right. Yeah, you go away, you scum. Look, if it makes you feel better, I'm going through some changes too.
Really?
Yeah, mine aren't.
Where are you growing hair?
Mine aren't as noticeable because, just don't tell anybody, okay?
Yeah,
I'm growing hair on the bottoms of my feet.
What? Ew.
I know. Wait, what?
Bottoms of your feet?
The very bottoms of my feet. It's like a shag carpet.
Oh my God.
Under my feet, like I'm always walking.
I see that now. I thought you were. Those are Crocs. I thought you were wearing slippers to school.
Yeah, I know. I'm very self-conscious about it. I don't know why I didn't think to wear a less revealing shoe.
Hey, what's going on with your feet? You're growing hair on your feet to get away from biting bugs?
No. I'm not worried about biting bugs.
Other kinds
on the
of flies?
Of my feet. Some carpet from my house got stuck inside my shoes. That's all. That's
You're like a hobbit.
No, that's
you live
a
in the dirt.
Why don't you leave us alone, you creep?
Oh, I'm sorry. I know we're all going through changes in our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, I see the hair growing on your elbows, to talk.
Elbows and mustache. What are you afraid of? Biting flies?
On your elbows and nostrils?
No, bugs don't even mess with elbows. I just...
Well, how do you think they mess with feet? They're always on the ground.
I'm sorry. Girls, I think I'm just insecure about my own body, and that's why I'm pointing out your flaws.
It's okay. We're all going through changes.
We cut across the cafeteria where two bugs are hanging out together.
So it's getting really difficult around here to get to all the fleshy parts, huh?
You know me, Larry. You know, I'm Buzz, the biting bug. And I love nothing more than that really callous flesh under the foot. And I can't even get to it. You know, that girl's feet must be delicious, but that shaggy-like hair underneath... Damn it. I just can't get to it.
I know what you mean, Buzz, the biting bug Buzz.
Yeah, Larry.
For me, I never really thought much about elbows. And now that they're starting to get covered up by the creep, now I've never wanted them more than ever.
Good God. I mean, it's like we didn't know what we had until we lost it, you know?
What are y'all doing there?
Oh, God.
You got these hairs growing out of your legs now? What are you were you trying to keep away biting humans?
Bugs, man. Like we got hairs all over. You're the freak show. You don't have a hair on you.
Baldy bug? How you doing there, baldy bug?
I mean, I'm bald. You're disgusting looking.
I know we're all going through changes in our bodies. I think I'm insecure in my own boniness.
It is true. We are going through some changes. I hope they all finish soon, seeing how we have a lifespan of like literally 24 hours.
Yeah, like it's a change every second. I turn around... I've got hair. I don't have hair. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-great-grandfather.
I mean, you guys are really self-aware, and I appreciate that. I just, I'm feeling kind of down. This whole 24 hours thing, I feel like I've wasted my life.
Hey, I mean...
Let's go on an adventure. Let's over on the other side of the cafeteria.
On the other side of the cafeteria? We cut to the other side of the cafeteria.
Look at this old strawberry. The strawberry's been here for 17 years. That's like a million years for us. I think we should be the bugs to defile it.
Explain yourself.
You know, we're bugs. We kind of carry pestilence around. I'm not saying we're going to do anything nasty to it. Let's just like...
You want to pestilize it?
No. No, let's just land on it and like be bugs on it. And we'll leave it. We'll make it kind of dirty.
Damn bugs.
End of scene.
It was a good ending. I regret nothing. But you really lost me when you said, let's have an adventure.
I was all in at that point. Yeah. Let's go.
These bugs have got to go, man. We can't just hang around talking about our hairs. There's bullies everywhere.
It's true. I am so tired. I'm exhausted. Man, we've gone places.
We have.
Whew.
And the jumping off point was 7.
In the box.
The jumping off point is not even a part of the episode. It's in a porch chat that's going to be released in like 4 days.
Y'all want some cheese? Just trust in Jesus.
Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news.
You've just tolerated another episode of Small Town News, a production of Small Town News, LLC.
Today's episode of Small Town News was inspired by the Ravalli Republic of Hamilton, Montana, and stories written by Ari Lava, Michelle McConnell, Phil Connolly, Seth Witke, and James Mauch, and a few unnamed staffers.
Episodes are performed and produced by Keith Boyd, George Oliver, Neil Oliver, and Craig Ramey.
Research by Dr. Jessica Saxon.
Music performed by George Oliver.
This episode was recorded in the historic Clark's Drugstore building in downtown New Bern, North Carolina.
Small Town News is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Facebook Podcasts, and your grandmother's gramophone. Like what you hear? Leave us a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for behind-the-scenes photos, exclusive updates, and opportunities to share your favorite Small Town News.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember, what's in the pod? What's in the pod?
Bunch of boiled kids.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm all stir it like a soup.
We got to see moose, coyote, red fox, egret, and ground squirrel. It was probably the best year for wildlife. As I said the word moose, just as an aside here, I was reminded that I don't think anybody can say the word moose and not sound dumb. It's just one of those words. It's like moose.
Well, especially because it caught me too when you said that. Yeah. And I was thinking about how it's like, there's no plural for moose.
I think it's meese.
No. Moose. It's just moose. Yeah. Because
are you sure? Geese.
Every other animal in that one was
moose,
plural.
Coyote.
Wait, what about like goose, right? Geese. Moose, meese.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
It's not. But, you know, there are no, they're, yeah. No proper rules.
Yeah. English. So they were in the boardroom, of course, and they're like, all right, plural for goose, geese. Plural for moose, you sound dumb saying moose. All right, meese, you sound dumber now. let's just stick with moose.
Look, we all agreed moose was a bad idea. It's a bad name. But can't
now,
go back now.
Now we're stuck with it.
We printed too many books.
We got. We should have stopped you with moo. All the cows are saying it forever. Now we got a moose.